1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
So I guess they're going to have to rebuild that levee or something, man. Make that thing 100 miles high, because that ain't getting it done. When I was in St. Paul, Minnesota, I lived in a place in St. Paul called Lower Town. Reason why they called it Lower Town? Because it was way down there, man. It was like below the river. And I walked out to my car one morning, and it was halfway underwater. And I didn't know it at the time, but the river rose. The river had swollen or swelled it up. And it was swollen, all right. And so I said, what's this? You know, I'm not familiar. Of course, that was a real trip living there. One minute your car's underwater, the next minute it's frozen solid like a block of ice. Yeah. And I said, this is wild, man. Now, this whole thing that's going on in New Orleans, I mean, I'm telling you right now, this is unprecedented. It's a whole city of 480,000 people. It's underwater. There's nothing like that's ever happened. Which means at some point it's just head for high ground. Just head for the hills, baby. Let's just get out of here. And there's people standing on top of their houses. And then these clowns that go around looting. I don't know. I'm old school. And what do I mean by old school? Shoot. Just shoot. Oh, is that you're going to the store? Yeah. Here, have this. Blah. I mean, it's nothing more. You know, that's like, first of all, it ain't your stuff, man. It doesn't belong to you.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, it's the whole flat, the whole thing's going to hell.
Well, no, not according to me. Not according to me and Mr. Smith and Mr. Wesson. I got this badge, I got this gun, and I got the love of Jesus in my pretty green eyes. Because I got reasonable suspicion. If I have reasonable suspicion of felonies being committed, I can go anywhere I want. And you guys are going in there and you're looting crap? That don't belong to you. Why, just because the rains fell and the streets are flooded? We got a thing here called civilization, baby. Ever heard of it? I don't give a crap if your life is bad. You ever notice this thing? A guy says, my life really sucks. First thing he steals is something like a hairdryer. I mean, what? Cats is stealing TV sets. Yeah, you're real poor, man. Yeah. You know that you're living in an affluent society when poor people, when they rob, it's television sets. Now, if you read history, of course, you go back to the days of yore, the old days when a poor man would steal a loaf of bread, a pig. Isn't that where that Tom, the Piper's son, stole a pig? Yeah, there you go. I knew that one. And he stole a pig and away he ran. Why? Because the kid wanted to make himself a little bacon. That's why. Why? Because he was hungry. Why? Because he didn't have no food, man. Because that's poor, baby. But in America, if you're poor, you're stealing TV sets. Come on. Ain't nobody stealing food. Television sets. Hair dryers. You know, Ronco games. Cats are stealing video games. Cats are stealing DDRs.
I got a right to have the rich man. I don't have nothing.
That's why you have like a DDR game under your arm?
Yeah.
So you want to go home and, like, do a Dance Dance Revolution?
What of it? None of your business. You're rich.
I'm rich. I ain't got one of those. Actually, I do, but it broke. Now, moving along, I did. My son got one for Christmas. He said, I'd like to get a DDR game for Christmas. I go, great. Yeah, man, I can go over here. They're only about 60 bucks. Well, no, I want to get an arcade game. Huh? An arcade game? Yeah. Are you kidding me? It's so bitchin', and all my friends do it. You know, wait a minute, dude. Arcade games are 20 G's. There's no way. It'll never happen in my lifetime or if I'm reborn. If I'm Sid Hartha, I ain't getting you no freaking thing, you know?
What do you step on it? That way it broke?
Huh?
The way you stepped on it.
Stepped on what, you jackass?
Stepped on a DDR and that way it broke?
You're supposed to step on it.
Yeah, you gotta step on it like a white man.
You know, bud, one more racial comment.
What'd I say?
Step on it like a white man. That's what you said.
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean. I'm getting a little tired of you with your metal plate in your head and your whole act. What's that hanging out of your ear?
Shark's tooth.
What a queer. Now, shark's tooth. Who are you, Dick Dale? All right, now, no offense, Dick. I saw you in a movie with a shark's tooth hanging out of your ear. Now, So I'm looking at this thing on TV, and these guys got to be goofy. I say you coppers down in New Orleans, A, start blasting to kill, B, National Guard. And if I hear one person, just one, forget it. They're going to say it anyway. Yeah, if the National Guard wasn't in Iraq, why, they'd be able to go down. Dude, we got more National Guard than we know what to do with. The problem is everything's underwater. They're going to have to get themselves some boats. I say at this point, the Coast Guard would ought to handle things. Send them on down a river. Anyway, the first thing they got to do is get everybody off those houses. Get everybody to high ground, man. Let the city drain out. Because I'm thinking, how do you keep a river from going where it wants to go once it's decided it's going to go there and you can't do anything about it? Dropping sandbags ain't going to do it. You're going to have to wait for the whole thing to settle down. Now, I just saw a thing on a tube. Was it dry today? It wasn't raining today, was it? It looked like the rain had ceased and seemed to be fairly dry. So it's all going to like drain out into the Gulf. Then you got to go in there and assess the damage, man. It's nuts. And the other thing I mentioned before the hour, last hour, and you have to remember this, believe me, I've been in the news business. I've been around the news business all of my professional life. When they report something, don't believe it right away, especially on a fast-breaking story is what I'm saying. On a fast-breaking story, don't believe it right away. Shooting at a New Orleans police station. Okay, hold on. I don't believe you. Why? We're fair and balanced. You may be fair and balanced, but I don't believe you. So what do you think of that? I don't believe you, and I don't believe you, and I don't care how many ties you got in the closet. I don't care how nice you look in the suit. I don't believe you. I don't care if your name is Britt. I don't care if it's Ted. I don't care if it's Shepherd. I don't care if it's Colin. I don't care if you've got some affected name like Simeon. Just because your name's Britt or Simeon doesn't mean you know anything. All these guys in the news business, Simeon and Britt and Shepherd. So, in other words, boys in the band, what, you guys weren't cast, so you decided to start a news network, is that it? What's the matter, Finocchio's not hiring? I know, we'll start a news network. Shepherd, Britton, whoever. So, don't believe them, man. If they tell you that, I don't care what they tell you. Don't believe it unless it gets reported and confirmed by at least three other sources, then you can pretty much put your hands on it. And that's the beautiful thing about the internet, I think. A lot of people don't like the internet because they think it's like anarchy. I dig it because there's so much horse manure there, it forces me to get the truth, right? So I have to, like, research it. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here in a Phil Henry program. And our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. And our email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. And I'll go through dig this, man. Art Garfunkel charged with marijuana possession. Isn't that nice? Oh, that's great. It's just so nostalgic to see something really lame like that. All right, what is that? Oh, it's marijuana. Jesus. Boy, you're sad, aren't you? Well, I mean, what is it with you, man? Aren't you mellow enough? What's a cat like Garfunkel doing blowing that stuff for anyway? He's so mellowed out, man. In the words of Woody Allen, he's going to ripen and rot. All in the middle of all of this crap, there's Garfunkel. Boy, you want some nostalgia, just reach on back to the area. He is getting popped for weed. And where? Woodstock, New York. All right. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Our email is phs@philhenryshow.com. I got a nice letter from a guy in Afghanistan. He's a soldier. I got a lot of email from soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq. This guy's name is Jesus, and he requested a flashback. The guys listen to us over there on, they download the show. They listen to us on the internet. They have tapes of the show or discs of the show mailed to them. And so the Phil Henry Show is making its rounds in Iraq. And I think some of the insurgents, in fact, have sent us emails requesting,
Hey, Phil, listen, I know you hate me, but, the Bobby Dooley bit. Yeah, okay, we can get it for you, man. All right, that's great. Thank you.
You know, so they're out there in the caves. Cats are in the caves out there. They're scumbags. But, hey, they're big salute from the Phil Henry Show to all you scumbags out there.
You know, Phil, I love your program. I hope you die because you're infidel. But Can you play the bit where Father McWhorter's, you know, is talking about the joy hole?
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego joins us. Mr. Griego had a very unusual experience, and he's about to tell us about it, involving a automobile accident and involving a train. And, Mr. Griego, thanks for joining the Phil Hendry Show. It's nice of you to be with us.
It's my pleasure, Phil.
And now, what happened? Tell me, this was an accident involving a train in Northern California?
Yeah, I was in my car, and I was crossing a railway crossing up near in King, California. It's up the 395, which is the highway up there. And I must have misjudged either the light or I didn't see the train because there was a high hedge of trees. But as I was crossing the train track, the train hit my car. It slammed into the car, probably doing about 50 miles an hour. The car was crushed and eventually twisted and dragged by the train. So it was pretty interesting.
Were you in the car? Were you in the car?
Yes, I was.
Well, what happened to you?
Oh, what happened to me? I thought you wanted to know what happened to the car.
What do you mean, what happened to the car?
My understanding was you wanted to hear what happened to my car when it's hit by the train.
Well, I did. I mean, I wanted to hear about the car getting hit by the train.
Well, you didn't say anything about me.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought it was implied. Yes. What happened to you?
Nothing. I was fine. But the car. And I could tell.
Wait. Hold on for a minute, man. How does your car get nailed by a train at 50 miles an hour, crushed, twisted and dragged? What did you do?
Well, how I got out of the car?
Yeah.
Before the train hit, I threw my body out of the car and I landed on my feet just before the train collided with the car. So in other words, I saw the train and I thought, well, you know, if it isn't one thing, it's something else. And I leapt from the car and...
You leapt from the car and landed on your feet?
That's correct.
And then you watched what happened to your car?
Yeah. I watched for a few seconds, and I realized the train had hit my car and was dragging it. And I thought, well, that's water under the bridge. And so that's when I started walking over to the telephone, and then I got up my teeth.
Wait a minute, man. How can you be so nonchalant about this?
Well, I don't know. You guys got me on to talk about...
No, I got you on to talk about... You survived the train...
I wasn't in the accident because I leapt from the car.
Yeah, you leapt from the car and landed on your feet, then walked over to use the phone and got a bite to eat.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'd like to thank Bennigan's and King because they've got a patty melt there. Let me tell you what. The patty melt at Bennigan's makes the rest of you people look like you're putting animal fat between two pieces of stale bread. It is something else. And that was the most exciting part of my day that day. That patty melt, if it was a woman... She'd never sit down again.
Okay. All right, so you...
Well, I get the feeling you don't believe me.
I believe you, man. You claim that you not only did you walked away from the accident, you left the scene, grab a bite to eat because you're hungry, then how'd you get home?
My wife picked me up.
Where do you live?
San Diego.
You're in King, California. What happened to your car?
Did you ever see the movie Courage Under Fire?
Yeah.
You remember when Lou Diamond Phillips gets head-on with the train? It looked pretty much like that. It was a total loss. The insurance company said, you know what? I called them, and I said, what about the car? And they said, we got to total it. I said, are you kidding me? I went down and took a look at it. And
you're telling me your car got hit by a train, and you think you can take it into a body shop and get it straightened out?
Look, I'm glad they totaled it, but the fact is, for the deductible, they could have gone in, banged out the fender.
Well, look, Mr. Gregg, I'm glad you're okay. I'm not sure that I would react the same way to my car being hit by a train, but you're all right.
Yeah.
No scratches, huh?
No. I'm fine. In fact, I'm due up next at a tennis match. We're in doubles with my secretary.
When did this take place, by the way?
Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it with you radio guys? You ask these dumb questions, and then there's a lot of silence.
Okay, wait a minute. Your car was hit by a train yesterday, crushed,
Yeah. And I walked away.
And your wife picked you up.
Yeah.
And you made it to your tennis tournament.
Yeah.
You driving a rental?
No, I bought one as soon as I got back. Got a Mercedes S-Series.
What'd the train hit?
Well, the train hit. The train hit was a McLaren, so I'm going to have to.
Well, all right, man. Easy come, easy go, huh?
You got it. Anything else?
No, that's it, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jesus, what a bore this guy.
All right, that's Mr. Art Griego, whose car was hit by a train. It was crushed, twisted, and dragged. He leapt from the car and then went and got a bite to eat, and his wife picked him up.
What?
Don't look at me, man. Don't ever put a guest on like that again. That guy didn't even think he went through any... What is this, Unbreakable? You got a freaking... what's that guy's name?
Ooh.
You know, that Indian guy. M. Night Shyamalan. Sounds like one of his movies, only a comedy. Yeah, I was driving along, and oh, look at that, a train. And so I leapt from the car and got a sandwich. All right, other news. Jesus. Taking a look at this Art Garfunkel charged with marijuana possession thing. I noticed here in this story that Garfunkel had a lit roach in the ashtray. What, is everybody going nuts? So the cop pulls him over because apparently he rolled through a stop sign. When he gets to the car, he can smell weed just like emanating, like 50 feet away. He can smell this pungent skunk weed coming out of there. He rolls down. Garfunkel rolls down the window. There's a lit roach in the ashtray, comes billowing out like a steam room. The cat rolls the window down. Don't you think those? If I was that cop, I'd sue Art Garfunkel, man. I'd get some kind of cash out of that. I got stoned on Garfunkel's secondhand skunk weed, and I had to work the rest of my shift high on that skunk crap that you smoke, you rock star, or what used to be called a rock star. So anyway, he apparently paid a fine, or he had his attorney get him out of it, whatever the hell, whatever those people do. He pled guilty, paid $200 in fines. You know, there used to be a time, I don't know if you young people know this, but if Art Garfunkel were, say, nailed in 1970, he'd do 25 years with Timothy Leary at Soul Dad. He'd have George Jackson standing there going, "Are you the white man that sang all that Sound of Silence stuff? Well, guess what? Now you're working for us. You're going to work for the Panther Party. You're working for the brother." All right, Christian school brings suit against UC. Civil Rights Action says the system's admissions policy discriminates against students who are taught creationism and religious viewpoints. Yes, it does. It does discriminate against people who are taught creationism and those kinds of religious viewpoints because the UC system, the University of California system, teaches science. Sorry that we discriminate against people who don't believe in science. Hey, huh? Hey, just so I'm clear, do you teach anything about the animist religions and how bone throwing and snake skins can create an aura of the great spirit? Any of that? No, we don't, man. No, it's not science. Well, you bigots. Look, Kat, you can believe anything you want, man. I got to teach science here, all right? You know, of all this stuff, under the policy implemented, my son's going to a UC school next year, UC Davis, and he wants to be a chemical engineer. And I said, what are you going to do with that, man? He says, invent crap. I said, cool, go for your doctorate, dude. If you go for your doctorate, you can write your own ticket. And, little do I know that probably in 4 years there's going to be a call. He's synthesized some new psilocybin, And then we have the Katrina aftermath. It's bad, baby. $25 billion. Gas prices are higher, so what else is new? And rescuers report that there's a lot of dead folks. Here's one of the rumors, by the way, I was telling you. Somebody ran into my office, I don't want to say who,
Michelle,
and said, oh my God, the bodies are coming out of the ground. No, they're not coming out of the ground. They bury them in mausoleums in New Orleans. If anything's secure in that town, it's the cats that are stiffed and under, inside their concrete bunker, man. Those dead bodies ain't going no place. Oh, yeah, they're floating out of the graveyard. No, they're not. Yes, they're. No, they're not.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So I'm looking at this story, and this cat, you see, again, this is the kind of story where it's just panic first and then ask questions later. And this is the mayor of the city. I'm not trying to I'm not trying to say, I don't want to comment. The poor man has got a job to do, and I'm sure he's just absolutely devastated. He's saying that the New Orleans, that might be the end. That might be the end of the city. 80% of our city is underwater. And, the worst case scenario is that it's the worst case scenario that anybody could imagine. It could very well destroy New Orleans, Jefferson, and the surrounding areas. Both airports are underwater. The twin spans are destroyed. The twin spans are destroyed. Now, you understand that I used to drive over that river. I think they're talking about the bridges. I used to drive over that Mississippi River Bridge on my way to work every day. I went from the West Bank over. That's like, it's like saying that the Bay Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge are destroyed. I mean, those are huge bridges, but it's the same. It's of the same significance to people who live in New Orleans. They're major commuter routes, man. They're major routes to the city. Destroyed. Wow, man. And goes on to say that the yacht club is burned and destroyed.
Well, that's really bad.
Why don't you have a little bit of respect? The mayor stated he was not sure of the structural soundness of the high-rises. He stated that it's possible the high-rise bridge in East New Orleans could be unstable. The mayor also stated that all of Slidell, a city which has no jurisdiction, he doesn't have any jurisdiction because it's a suburban city, the entire city is underwater. There's no clear path in and out of New Orleans because I-10 is underwater. Now, if you've ever driven into New Orleans from the west, you're driving basically through really kind of fascinating bayou country, swamp country. But you can well imagine, when you're driving over a causeway that's, several feet above a bayou, when the river floods, zoop, up it goes. So New Orleans is isolated. Now, this is only about 24 hours since all of the hell broke loose down there, and I'm sure that they're going to start maybe choppering stuff in. People get some supplies going and get the folks down there. But they might as well just get the hell out of that town until the whole thing just subsides. Where do you put 500,000 people anyway? Well, it reminds me of Woodstock.
What a queer.
All right, that's it.
No, please don't.
Anyway, it says here, as corroboration, a spokesperson from Tulane University said that they were about to move all of the patients from the hospital due to rising water at 1 inch every 5 minutes. She said white water was pounding down Canal Street, which would be from Lake Pontchartrain related to the breach. So I guess, because New Orleans, and especially the quarter, is on high ground, I saw pictures of the French Quarter. Is not all of it isn't underwater. There are cars parked on the street. I mean, the water's like halfway up the hubcaps, but it's nothing like the areas around. And that's the thing you got to know, I think, about New Orleans, especially the old part of New Orleans.
Yeah, what's the matter with Glenn Beck?
Nothing's the matter with Glenn Beck. Why doesn't he go out and help Glenn Beck with his freaking his tour, his comedy tour? Sorry. All right, now, pounding down Anyway. Whitewater's going to... Anyway, it's on a high ground there, okay? See, New Orleans... The guys that built New Orleans weren't completely nuts. The city, the original New Orleans city, is on high ground. The surrounding area then goes... It tapers down until you have, that whole,
In 1814, it took a little trip along the Mississippi. That one?
Yeah, that's it. The Battle of New Orleans. And then you have the surrounding areas, which is really kind of depressed. So, it's a drag, baby. It's a major drag. That's the headline tomorrow. Big Easy. But I'm sure they're going to get some food down there. I mean, I don't know. I've got nothing to do with it. Isn't there some people that can help them out? isn't that the attitude of most of us? I swear to God. Well, isn't there people who help people? No, it's you and me, baby. We're in this together. You don't think Venezuela kicked in. Only because, as Harry wrote here, Chavez knows we're trying to assassinate him, so he decided to cut the price in oil and send us some food. Dig that, man. We're getting foreign aid from Venezuela. All right. You know what? I always liked that guy, that Chavez. Kind of a meathead, but, well, means well. He offered discount gasoline to poor Americans suffering from high oil prices. What? Venezuela is the fourth largest provider of oil to the United States. Why don't we just go down there and take over that country? Why can't we just take some of these countries over? I'm getting tired of fooling around with these guys. And don't tell me about how they're all like, you know, it's a groovy-ass kind of a thing, baby. You know, they're national integrity. Do you realize that before the World War I took place, there wasn't any freaking Saudi Arabia? It was just a bunch of sand, man. Cats on camels, dudes, you know, paying the highest bidder. That's what it was. But no, we had to have World War I. We had to bust up the Turkish Ottoman Empire. And then we said, hey, we'll make this Iraq. What do you think? Yeah, I don't give a crap. Well, you can be the president. Oh, okay. And then over here, we'll make this Iraq. How about an N? Iran? Yeah, Iraq and Iran. Well, that sounds game, but, you know, okay. Now that'll be Syria. That's Lebanon. Got to have a place for the Jews. Israel. Now that's it. Boom. Now, all these cats in bedsheets are going, what are you talking about? What, am I in a country now? I used to go from well to well, man. That's my country. I go from one oasis to the next. I go from one papaya stand to the next, baby. That's it. I herd my goats. Don't even bother me with this. No, you're in Saudi Arabia now, and it's a kingdom. Bull crap, it's a kingdom. Says who? The British. Oh, okay. So now they got a country. Didn't have to be a country. We could have gone down there and made it a state. Now, Venezuela, I say, is ripe for the taking. Down there in a jungle, they won't even know we're there. Well, hell, we'll get into the capital. And what's the name of the capital anyway? Caracas. If ever a town sounded like it needed to be flushed, that's it. Talk about a town needing to be flooded out. Caracas is it. We could get into Venezuela, take that whole thing over before sunup, before they even had the eggs ready. Be a whole bunch of cats going to work. They wouldn't know we were here, man. The freaking flag. Our flag looks like theirs. What do they got? Stripes with one star? I mean, what is it with those cats down there anyway? Hey, the Cuban flag. It's like five blue stripes and one star. Just put the American flag over everything. Now, once we take that over, guess what? Gasoline, 35 cents a gallon. Oh, yeah. Plus, the resort hotels, you can't be beat. And all the hiking trails in those jungles down there, perfect for smoking weed. All right. That's sweet, man. Hey, Garfunkel, you don't have to be driving around like some numbnut in your car with your... I bet you still got a perm, don't you?
Well, I sort of...
Yeah, I figured as much. If I was the cop popping him, oh, I'd throw the book at... You Art Garfunkel? Yeah, what are you doing with the perm?
Well, what do you mean? That's what I know that's what you had back then. You're driving around with a perm and that funky-looking walrus mustache. What's that in the ashtray?
Oh, let me guess. Pot. Does it mellow you out?
Oh, I just feel that I have the right.
You don't have the right for anything. Get on the ground right now. Spread them. Take your pants off. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Now, a week from yesterday, next Monday, Labor Day, Bobby Dooley Marathon, 3 hours solid of one of our favorite suburban fascists, one of the great all-time sluts, Bobby Dooley. Yes, Bobby with her painted nails and her freaking Naga hide skin, her bleached out hair, her damn Ray-Ban, whatever the hell it is she's wearing. I don't know. I remember when Laurie Metcalf played Bobby Dooley in that TV pilot we did. Laurie's one of the funniest, greatest people and actresses around. When she walked out in that makeup, I went, holy, that's Bobby. And she even, I think I told the story, Laurie had the makeup lady twist her face a little bit so it looked like Bobby had had some hatchet job facelift. Oh, it was beautiful.
And what a butt.
Yeah, Laurie has a great... Why don't you shut up? All right, anyway, so Monday it'll be the Bobby Dooley Marathon here on the Phil Hendry Show. Now, you know, have you ever seen that guy, what's his name, Andy Rooney? That guy's always saying, you ever notice? See, I'm going to do a totally opposite thing. This never happens to you, only me. Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. That's my thing. Forget about that. Hey, does this happen to you? I share nothing with the human race. Everything that happens to me happens to nobody else. So it's going to be called, This Never Happens to You, Only Me. A, I know three people that have had sex change operations. Don't even try to come at me with that, man. I got everybody beat on that. Not one, not two, three. Then on top of that, I'm the only kid in my family who always saw crap and nobody believed me. I was the kid. So like, for instance, when Marilyn Monroe got, you know, when she suddenly, tragically was dead, I told my folks, but anyway,
I'm watching TV one day, and the guy comes on. He goes, "Right, Bob, we're here at the dam, and this doesn't look good at all." Now, I don't even remember what dam it was, but it was around here in L.A. someplace. Now, the dam sits up in the hills, and below it are these houses. I don't know where the hell this was. I don't want to say it was Baldwin Hills or Baldwin, but wasn't that. And all day long, Channel 5 had this guy standing there with a camera. That's what 5 used to do, man. He says, "You can see right there's the crack, and there's water running through this thing." I spent the whole freaking day, I went through 3 boxes of Cheerios, watching this dam crack and crack and crack. And I'm telling you, I got to hand it to Channel 5. They kept the camera on this thing, and all of a sudden, the whole freaking dam just breached, and water just started pouring right down into these houses, just flooding them out. And the guy was saying, "Well, the cops are going door to door trying to get everybody out of here, but I don't know whether these people are bright enough, but we hope so, Ed." Oh, wait a minute. God, the water's coming our way. Why didn't we move our news van? Holy Jesus.
Kind of like an orgasm.
Forget it, man. Forget the story. It sucks. 1-800.
What a baby.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Coming up on Monday, Labor Day, and if you've been noticing, like, dropouts in Noah's sound and my mic isn't on, that's because Wayne Roberts is running our board tonight. Wayne's a good man. I like Wayne a lot. He's a very talented filmmaker. He has a film coming out that'll be actually part of a film festival at the Arclight Theater here in Los Angeles on September the 8th. But as far as running broadcast boards go, he sucks chimpanzee. No, you're doing good, dude. I know Wayne from Miami. He's kicking some ass. What's the name of the flick? Your mama what? It's Out of Moves? Okay. Out of Moves, Arclight Theater, September the 8th, 1 o'clock. Go check it out. It's part of a film festival called the Homosexual Film Festival. And it features 10-minute shorts by prominently swishing. No, he's a good cat. Wayne's married with 2 beautiful kids. Is your wife still on TV, man? Tara? What's she doing? What's she doing now? She was on the Nashville Network for a while. She was on country music television, and but that's back in Nashville, right? So she's out here. So they ought to get her to like host a game show or something. I don't know, something that'll start bringing some bread into your house. Because man, you keep showing up in them T-shirts. Well, of course, look at me. All right, brother. I'll see you later. We'll see you cats later. Everything's good. New Orleans, pull it together, baby. We're with you, man. It sucks, but hey, what are we if not the greatest people in the history of the human race? We're Americans. And if anybody wants to get up into our grill, anybody wants to talk about it, any discussions, want to step outside, more than welcome. All right, I'm Phil Hendry, and I'm going to go gnaw on a tire.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.